This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Last time we spoke was on Friday, and well, much has happened since then. We have a war in the Middle East and all the ramifications of that. I mean, so much has happened. But let's get up to date. We had some claims earlier on today from Iran saying that they had completely blocked the Strait of Hormuz, which would have a huge impact on the oil price if that was true. But looking at the oil prices at the moment, they are fairly steady. When this war actually started, oil was about 15% below what it is now. Perhaps the price isn't as high as one might expect, bearing in mind the circumstances.
Yeah, that's right, Johnny. I mean, definitely over the weekend, you had the whole market brace for impact when it came to this stuff kicking off. But yes, actually, to your point, oil prices remain relatively muted. In fact, they are pretty much trading right around where they gapped up to over the weekend. I'm looking at U.S. oil around $75 a barrel. And as you mentioned, Brent crude, if we take a look at that, trading a little higher at $81.30 or so. So kind of interesting. I think that part of the back and forth here has obviously been what you mentioned. If the Strait of Hormuz is closed off, if it is under threat, if the Iranians have some sort of control over that, that certainly impacts global supply of oil. And that is really, obviously, from a geopolitical conflict perspective, that the market doesn't love that. But really what the market cares about most is obviously the accessibility of energy from the region, oil coming from that part of the world into really the Asian markets are a big customer there, right? You have India, Pakistan, China, Japan, South Korea, all heavily reliant on oil from this region. And so if that Strait of Hormuz does remain in any way incapacitated to providing oil to those places, then it has multiple ramifications to global markets, right? Rising oil prices, as we've talked about many times on the podcast, can have a negative impact on inflation. Prices can rise, not just on oil, but in other places, the CPI could rise as well. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. But I think that the other reason that you're maybe seeing a muted oil price right now is that also we have seen from the White House the confirmation, the kind of backstop that oil will flow through the Strait of Hormuz if the U.S. can have anything to say about it. The Trump administration kind of putting that foot down, saying oil will flow from that place. And I think the market is at least reassured that, okay, they're going to, that is a top priority, is to keep the Strait of Hormuz open and oil flowing through the region. So it is a very interesting time. We also see gold and silver making some interesting moves, right? Obviously, with the Sunday open, gold and silver gapped higher, but then confusing for many investors, many traders, may have been that gold and silver have actually moved lower since then by a pretty wide margin. Gold opened up at around 5370, let's call it, per ounce. It's now trading at 5150. So it's moved lower on spot price here. Bit confusing, but it also is worth mentioning that we had some very large volatility expansion going into this week. And what we know is that when you get global market crisis like this, where you have sudden selling, broad sweeping, it can also coincide with margin calls and margin requirements. So we do see a little bit of selling in lots of different assets, although that seems to at least for now be settled out. With the volatility index, the VIX, down almost 12% at the time of recording this, you do have some volatility contraction, which certainly kind of tells you that the market seems to at least for now be buying the idea that the Strait of Hormuz will mostly remain open. I say that with a question mark because, again, this is an ongoing story, and I wouldn't get too comfortable because we are seeing breaking news and headlines constantly throughout the days.
What about stock markets, though, Nick? We've seen them fall sharply since the US and Israel attacked Iran over the weekend. Asian stock markets have been particularly hit hard. As you said, the region imports large amounts of energy from the Middle East. And in addition to oil, of course, gas has really spiked in price. And the other factor is interest rates. Now, we were expecting a cut from the Bank of England on March the 19th, but I think the current situation's possibly put paid to that, has it not?
I think that's definitely fair to say. Yields have actually made moves higher in a lot of places, US, UK, not so much Japan. There's been a little bit of a bid there for Japanese treasuries. But it's an interesting dynamic that you bring up because, as you mentioned, central banks wanting to generally be more on the easing side, wanting to cut interest rates, very well could have some external forces working against them right now, as we saw and discussed many times. Hard to believe it's been this long, but back in 2022, 2023, we talked about this quite a bit with the whole Russia and Ukraine stuff. That was an external impact on inflation that made it difficult for central banks to cut interest rates too much for fear of, you know, spiking inflation. So, it does add a layer of difficulty for central banks, including the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, that generally do want to cut interest rates, but may be met with some sticky inflation due to rising oil prices. We also know that within the Consumer Price Index, energy inputs are, you know, one of the most volatile components outside of food, shelter, et cetera. These things spike around. And so very quickly can that negatively impact the consumer price index readings for these various nations looking to ease their borrowing rates. So I think it adds a new layer of uncertainty to financial markets. To answer your other half of your question, Johnny, about, you know, stock markets, right? This was a pretty broad sweeping sell-off in stock markets, you know, U.S., Japan, the UK, et cetera. We saw some downward pressure on global equities, and especially those, as you pointed out, in the Asian markets, seeing some heavy selling in response to this due to their reliance in the region for oil, more so than the West, right? Of course, we get oil over here from different places than places that are more local. India especially comes to mind, as well as Japan, China, and Pakistan gets actually a ton of oil from the region. So I bring that up because this has expanded, Johnny. It's been not just isolated to U.S., Iran, and Israel. We have also seen Hezbollah in Lebanon and as also in Saudi Arabia. We see all these other countries sort of posturing for what could be a broader conflict. And I guess the big question markets are wrestling with now, is this a long drawn out conflict? Is the Strait of Hormuz going to remain questionable? These are the things that markets are trying to figure out in the current, you know, space.
Now on Friday, Nick, we've got the latest non-farm payroll numbers, the US job numbers, but we've had some earlier today, as well as some other data as well.
That's right. The ADP non-farm employment change number did come out this morning at 63,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy. That was above forecasts of 50,000. However, it is worth also mentioning they slightly revised the previous number lower. If we take a look at the other major drop this morning, and actually possibly the more market moving of the two, the ISM services PMI figure this morning came in at 56.1. That was a strong reading and above the forecast of 53.5. So a little bit of strong economic data to maybe also help balance things out. We did see the stock market and other various markets firm up a little bit around that time, including the dollar. So we'll see how things continue to develop. I do also want to mention, of course, that geopolitics are definitely taking, forefront of market moves right now. But it is also worth mentioning that the economic landscape, at least jobs market data, for example, has been materially improving relative to forecasts in the United States.
Excellent stuff, Nick. We'll speak to you again on Friday. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.